Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing feedback, specifically about What If Season 1, Episode 7, all that and more that we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our producer chair, we have the lovely Ashley Coffin. How you doing, Ash?
I'm home. I'm back in my producer chair.
Yeah, you are. You've been, like 3 weeks in the host chair, in Jeff's host chair?
Sorry.
We actually set, like, a record or, like, I don't know what to say, but, like, we got through feedback pretty quickly.
Yeah, you also got people sending us love letters in our email.
That's not my fault anymore. I'm gonna take care of it. It's the Scottish guys. What are we supposed to do?
Not.
They're sending more audio files. It's amazing.
You know, Ashley can't help it. It's a physiological response.
I put out a call for audio. We used to get a lot more audio feedback. You know, remember more people would call in.
She puts up the beacon. She lights the beacon, the Scottish beacon.
It's just a kilt it's in the sky.
It's the kilt signal.
If you want my body, it's just Rod.
Wow.
So before we get started, we wanted to throw out a thank you because Jordan Pierce, our patron.
Jordan.
Many of you may remember me mentioning him back when the computer crashed and we had all that drama with the computer. He sent us a doc to get us started that saved some money with that whole situation. Well, he this week sent us some more CalDigit gear, and we just wanted to give a shout out to CalDigit and Jordan Pierce to thank you guys for the help with some of this gear. It says a hard drive and some docs and like really helping out with our workflow. So thank you. CalDigit, just like really high quality gear. So seriously, just thank you.
Thank you.
This little number right here, and I know the people on audio can't see it, but that's a reason for you to come to Twitch and or watch us on YouTube. This little number here is a terabyte of flash storage.
A waterproof up to so many meters terabyte flash
drive. It's a dinosaur.
It's crazy. And it's tiny. Is his point of holding it up on Twitch is it's tiny.
It fits in the palm of my hand with a little bit of room to spare.
He can palm that sucker.
I've never been able to palm a terabyte before.
I don't know what that means.
I literally just got your joke about it being a dinosaur. I did not get there. I was like, a terabyte.
I just chose to ignore it because it's not the first time she said that.
I say it every time. Thank you, Jeff.
And this is the first time I've gotten it. Probably other times I just ignored it.
Wow.
It's a bad joke. It's a
good joke. I like that.
But I commit. I'm a committer.
You know, it's that I can respect. Committing to the joke, even if it's bad.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
You're like,
Scree.
Yes, it's, we need to put out terabyte hard drives that are spelled PT terabyte. It's a pretty good idea.
Fancy.
And they're actually only like a gig, but like, it's just, that's our special branding for terabyte. It's just branding. It's not an actual terabyte.
Get a bunch. They flock together. They, you know.
Yeah.
What's the grouping of a terabyte called? This is for the nerds in the group. A raid.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, let's move on with our lives.
All right. No, but thank you, Jordan. Thank you, CalDigit. You guys are awesome, and the gear is awesome, and it's been super helpful getting our workflow up. Let's talk about What If, everybody. Come on.
What If feedback.
You have anything to say about this episode, Ash?
Ashley's Corner.
How many more episodes of these are there?
Wow. That's the first thing is, when is it over?
What are we at? We're at like 8?
Three more.
That was 7.
Episode 8 comes out tomorrow night.
This was just a little too campy for my liking. I enjoyed the fight between Captain Marvel and Thor, but what am I going to say, Jeff?
So you're going to say it's for kids because nobody died.
No, I was going to say it would have been better if it was live. Like, okay. We all want to see that fun fight. And it was fine for what it was. But the rest of it was just like a little hokey. I have too many questions that just I didn't care that I had. Like, I started having so many questions and I was like, why do I care? I don't care. Stop it. Who cares?
Yeah.
This doesn't go past here, so let it go.
I get it. I get that reaction. I really
but
do.
But it was the show's for kids, like, ish. You know, it's a, you know, cartoon, so I get that they have to lighten the mood after zombies and, you know, the over and over groundhog death.
Because there have been so many episodes that were so not for kids, the zombies and the Doctor Strange one particularly, I don't know if I would say the show's for kids.
And the Killmonger one?
Yeah, the Killmonger less so, a little less gory, but yes, I agree. Killmonger was also pretty dark.
I enjoyed the Loki. He was fun.
Yeah, the Loki was a lot of fun. Frost Giant Loki.
With his amazing ice crown. That's what we need 3D printed. I want it 3D printed in clear resin to look icy and frosty. Ice crown from my noggin.
Can we call him... He called him Ice Bros. Can we call him Brokey?
Does that work? Sure.
Brokey and Brothor?
No, that was Party Prince Thor. Brothor is fueled by Cheetos.
Yeah, that's true.
In Endgame.
This seemed like... It's funny because we have that Thor. The only reason I think this episode does work to sort of fit into the canon in any way is because we do have that version of Thor. Like, we have the
we've
bro
seen
Thor.
Other versions of Thor.
We've seen the Thor who's, like, eating Cheetos and playing video games when he's given up, you know, and he doesn't have a purpose. Yeah. So, like, this kind of makes sense for him.
So his plan was just to come spread the party, like...
This is the other end of the spectrum. There was, like, at that point, everything had gone awful for him.
Right.
This was the end where, like, everything was always awesome for him.
This is literally like, I mean, it's frat bro Thor, right? Like,
it's Thor living his best life.
It's super privileged Thor who never had a problem, but also didn't have like something to ground him and something to overcome.
Yeah. Oh my God. This was supposed to be shining a light on white privilege, and I'm just now seeing it.
Cause his mom came and cleaned, you know.
Yep. Yep. Or rich people privilege, whatever.
Just whatever privilege. Like, it doesn't, why they gotta be white, Jeff? No, I'm just joking. I understand completely why it's gotta be white.
Norse people are white. Oh, they're very white. Yeah.
I started a thing, you guys. This is why I don't come here on Mondays.
I like it.
Privilege in general. It's Asgard privilege or whatever.
Asgardian privilege.
Asgardian privilege. But they weren't hating on the Frost Giant. So it's like, does that mean that whatever happened brought peace to the issues with them?
Or the war, that battle between Odin and the Frost Giants back then didn't happen the same way? They never stole the child?
Yeah, well, in the montage that the Watcher narrated, we saw Loki give the child back, and there seemed to be, like, diplomatic relations going on.
Odin?
After that. Did I say Loki gave the child back?
You did.
I'm here to correct you.
Thank you.
Producer Powers.
Producer producing over there.
Listen, when does that often happen? Never.
That's fair. When does Jeff misspeak? Never.
I don't think exactly. That's what she meant.
Oh, wait, all the time. It happens like literally all the time.
Okay, so I hear you. I think this episode is definitely a light episode that doesn't have too much craziness in it, clearly. Doesn't have too much darkness, and I know you're a lady of the dark. You're the mistress of the dark, and you love that stuff. So, like...
Yeah.
I get it. I get why this
careful
is not
with those words. There,
this is not for you.
I was fine with the boom, boom, smash, smash when they were fighting. Like, I get it. That was fun to see.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel, not worthy, I guess.
Right. Ooh. Well, we have some feedback about that, actually. I think it's in the first one. So let's get to the feedback. How about that? Actually, I guess we're going to send Miss Ashley to her feedback cave because she's going to be rounding up the live feedback.
So that particular email comes from Paul the Scott on Gmail, Battle of the Scots. I'm assuming Ashley put that note because she is making Scottish men fight for her in kind of a battle to the death.
There's a whole group of us listening to these audios before they're live.
Huh? Anyway, Paul the Scott.
The thirst chat has turned into a thirst chat about our listeners. I like it. I like it a lot. I like this turn.
It's an interesting lens to put on the world.
So listeners, if you are...
If you're South African, I like
never
that
mind.
Too.
I'm not going to open that door. I was about to open a bad door.
If you find yourself from Johannesburg, send in a voice note.
If you have a sexy accent or just a smoldery look you want to give.
Send your feedback in your accents. Like, we used to get a ton, and then when you guys sent the audio files through Google, it sounds so good.
Yeah, it sounds way better. So if you send your audio files, record an audio file on your phone, like your voice memo, and send it in instead of phone call.
German, Italian, Parisian, Italian, Mexican, Cinderella, Cuban. Mm-hmm.
Paula Scott says, "Hi guys, listening to the What If Thor episode wasn't for me. I'm sorry." No, I'm not going to do the accent. Wasn't for me. Felt it was a little too cartoonish. One thing I can't wrap my head around is, why was Thor worthy? He seemed to be immature and all about the party lifestyle. Am I being too critical? Anyway, I love that you love it. It just missed me this time. Love you guys.
A lot of people brought up the worthy thing. He's not necessarily worthy, but I think in this universe, in the MCU, that worthy chant came from Thor 1, which those events never happened. So right. Odin never gave the hammer that enchantment.
Right. But then in that case, Captain Marvel should not have been pinned to the ground while Mjolnir laid upon her.
Unless it has a different enchantment that has something to do with Thor specifically or something like that. You know, only Thor can wield this hammer or something like that.
Well, in Norse mythology, it's just that the hammer is forkin' heavy. And right. Like, he's got a belt of strength and, like, some bracers and some extra shit, and, like, he's just really strong to start with. So, like, because his strength is so increased, he's able to lift the hammer.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's no precedent for this enchantment in anything other than, you know, comics history, and then nothing in the MCU except for in Thor 1.
Right.
So, you know...
Why he could be worthy of the hammer enough, but still pin her to the ground is weird. I agree.
Yeah. Well, the enchantment from Odin is fickle at best.
Right.
Like, especially in comics, like, there are so many times where, like, Thor's just being a douche, mm-hmm. and Odin's just like, you know, and then just all of a sudden Mjolnir drops.
Yeah, it seems to respond to Odin. It also right. They've recently in comics revealed that the whatever worthiness it allows people to pick up Mjolnir allows them to pick it up situationally.
That's not recent.
I just read an article on how they recently added that. I don't know.
It's been a thing, yeah, for like decades. Where just basically whoever is most worthy and needed for the situation around, like that's what happened in, JLA Avengers crossover in, I think it was early 2000s or late 90s.
Right.
When Superman picked it up because Thor was unconscious and, you know, Cap Shield falls in front of him. There's Mjolnir and Superman's just like, well, let me pick both of these up and right. So much power.
No, I'm not saying that they haven't used it that way over the years. I'm saying that recently in comics, they supposedly explained that. Is the article I read? I did not read the comic.
I don't know why people felt like it needed to be explained.
Yeah,
it
was.
Well, no, anyway. It's they use it as a plot device that whoever needs to pick it up can pick it up. But they recently explained that the universe, like the worthiness charm, has a universal perspective that decides when the universe is in need of someone picking it up is what they explained in comics apparently recently.
Huh.
See, I don't like that.
It's one comic. It doesn't have to be this universe even.
Yeah, no. Hashtag not my Mjolnir.
Hashtag not all Mjolnirs.
Yeah. But all that to say, it could just be that, you know, because Thor was already wielding it, Mjolnir is just like, meh. Good enough. We'll stick with this guy. Right. Nobody else can pick me up right now.
Yeah.
So, really, it's that Mjolnir needs to do better for Mjolnir's self. Mjolnir needs to find a person that respects Mjolnir for the power that it has. You know, takes it out on nice dates.
We never met Odin in this world, right? Like, what if this Mjolnir, like...
Whosoever parties hardest.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my kind of Asgard.
Whosoever is not a party pooper.
Yeah.
Can wield Mjolnir, you know, like, and that's why she's harshing everyone's
too
mellow.
Serious.
Yeah.
Good point. I think we solved that.
That's the party verse. So Tim Brown, one of our patrons on Patreon, says, "Hey people, I was just listening to the reviews of the last few episodes of audio, and I have to say, it doesn't make sense that they know it was coming to Wakanda, because didn't Peter and Scott and T'Challa have Vision's Mind Stone with them after Vision ripped it off? It's not like they just left it there, and remember, the Mind Stone helps keep the other zombies at bay. They would be beyond stupid to not use it to at least get out of there. Another point, T'Challa was not killed off in the zombie episode, from what I remember. T'Challa, Scott, and Peter were the only survivors, so they, the writers, only killed him once, Killmonger episode, so far in What If, and not over and over like someone mentioned earlier."
Someone wrote in and said that. I think we were assuming that, we went along with it, because I think we were also assuming that T'Challa had died in the zombie episode.
I watch a lot of zombie movies, and usually at the end of zombie movies, when people are like, yay, we made it, and then they show up to a place that's overthrown with zombies, usually you assume they die. So I just went real Romero on it. I was like, yeah, they're dead. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. You're probably right. I forgot about the Mind Stone. Do we count Scott? Like, Scott's in a bucket. He's in a bucket.
He's not really a survivor.
No, there's not much you can do to help you.
I would say, though, that Vision was able to use the Mind Stone to push the zombies back only because he was in tune with it, and it was, like, a part of his body.
And he knew how to use it.
Right. He had been you know, utilizing it for a while to keep everybody at bay.
Okay.
I doubt that they're going to be able to do that with it. I mean, it's like they could shake it at him and, you know, Thanos zombie will just be like, oh, cool. Thanks.
Maybe. Yeah. I can't remember exactly how it ends, but did they? I got the sense that him pulling that out and giving it to them was him giving them the power to be able to ward off the zombies, like that. They're just scared of the actual Mind Stone for whatever reason.
It was a vibration that it puts off. Keeps them at bay.
So I would assume that that's probably still happening. At least Vision believed it would still happen.
Vision specifically said that he discovered a way for that to be a thing.
Oh, okay. I don't remember.
So, like, he basically had to turn it on. That's why they were able to come in to the compound, is because he shut that part off. As everybody, all the zombies were coming in, they were trying to escape.
Okay. Been too many weeks. I apparently don't remember this episode well enough.
They had to put a fail-safe in so that parents could turn to their kids and be like, no, they have the stone. Of course they survived, Timmy. No. Off to bed.
They're all dead.
No, yeah, that'd be me.
Every single one of them.
That's what happens.
That's what happens.
Ashley with kids is going to look at them and be like, and see, when they get to Wakanda, they're just going to be torn apart.
Yeah.
Now go home with Dad. Bye!
And go back to Katie. Bye. No.
Yep.
That's why Katie's kids are the coolest. They know.
Have fun trying to sleep. Yep.
Oh, man.
That's Auntie Ashley for you. Let's see. Next up, we got Emily Sisola sending us an email. Hello, my wonderful MCU cast family, and first time writing into Animation Deliberation. So this is by far my favorite episode of What If. A lot of the episodes I've not been into, like the first one and the zombies episode. The storylines just did not do it for me in these episodes. This one, along with Star-Lord T'Challa, are my absolute favorites. This one had my two all-time favorite characters of Captain Marvel and Loki, and in such an amazing way. Hiddleston is absolutely hilarious as his Jotun Prince Loki self, and was such a creative addition to the episode. What I loved, though, was Captain Marvel being her total badass, sassy, clearly more powerful than Thor self. She truly is the strongest Avenger. Love all of you, 3000.2 heart emoji.
Ooh, version 2.
Was that Brie Larson's voice?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, no, Brie has not been a part of this series, if memory serves.
I wonder why. Like, most of the people who aren't involved are either under contract with a different company, like Tom Holland, or they've already died in the main MCU, so they're no longer with Marvel.
Or they're busy.
Yeah.
Like, Benedict Cumberbatch has not been the voice of Doctor Strange in any of the episodes.
Oh, I didn't realize
I guess
that.
He was filming the Doctor Strange movie when they were doing this. He's like, what do you want me to do?
Can't be everywhere at once.
That's really funny. Can't be Doctor Strange right now. I'm being Doctor Strange.
Yeah, it's like, that's the most Doctor Strange thing you could do, asshole. So just do it.
Chill for a minute.
What do you mean?
Being
you just
Doctor
have to
Strange.
Be the person you've been all day. Just go throw down some lines and get out of there.
I mean...
I can definitely see why a good actor like Benedict Cumberbatch would want to, like, I really don't want to get in the headspace of that Doctor Strange while I'm trying to film this movie about this Doctor Strange, you know?
Oh, I hope that they're connected. And it was too, I heard rumors, not fact, but rumors that they had to, like, talk about, like, the plots, because they're like, some of this is a little bit too much like what we're doing, or it was vice versa. I'm going to leave it very open in the air. But, yeah, there was apparently talks between, like, production of the show and What If about what they were doing.
Yeah, there was a, I don't even think it was a rumor, there was one, story they had to abandon. I don't know that we know what it was, but there was a story they had to abandon with What If and stop because it was too similar to what the actual, MCU wanted to do in the future. Mm-hmm.
That's intense.
Yeah.
Raimi's a genius.
It's
they were like, so 10 years from now, this was our plot for our major film, sir. You need to cease and desist. And sign this. You're not allowed to tell anybody.
Yeah, Brad Winterbaum has been a producer for a while, like since the one shot The Consultant in 2011.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
So, you know, this particular person has been I don't want to say a large part, but like a pretty solid part of the Marvel canon so far, with a lot of shorts and co-producing Ant-Man and EP on Thor Ragnarok, you know, like EP on Black Widow. Like there are credits under that belt. So I would say that particular person is probably pretty well baked into the
fabric of the MCU.
Yeah. So, if there was a story that had to be snipped in What If, it's probably because Raimi showed up and kicked a door and was like, this is how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this Al? Another Scotsman. Al McKinley.
Woo!
Sent their freaking feedback in.
Hi, everyone. I heard Ashley was asking for voice memos, and there's a general like for Scottish accents. So if he did the call and sent my feedback as an audio file, but I've also transcribed it into the email. I started listening to the podcast during WandaVision and have been listening ever since. It's been great to hear different opinions on things. I'm a podcaster as well. I do a podcast about farming games, and podcasting communities are some of the best places on the internet. I've been really enjoying the What If series, and especially loved this episode and how ridiculous it was. It was definitely one of my favourites, and the humour was great. I think it's interesting that Loki seems a better person in this universe, at this point in time anyway, but Thor seems like a worse person. I have a theory about the Ultron at the end of the episode. It looked like it was Vision inside the Ultron armor, and that leads to the question of where is this Ultron / Vision from? If the change in the universe was that Thor didn't grow up with Loki, that wouldn't have changed anything on Earth until the time of this episode, because this was set during the time of the first Thor film. If that's the case, there's nothing that would have made Tony make Ultron earlier than he did in the main MCU timeline. So based on that, clearly this Ultron came from another universe and is figured out, using the Infinity Stones somehow, travelling between universes. I just can't see any circumstance where Ultron would already exist in this universe, so he must be from another, surely. I wasn't convinced about the universes joining together at one point until now, but I think it's clear that this Ultron is the baddie that brings them together. That definitely explains why the Watcher was confused as well. Maybe the universe that this Ultron came from is one where the Watcher wasn't aware of. He doesn't seem to be omniscient or omnipresent. It looks like he can just choose a universe and a time to be watching, but not knowing and seeing everything by default. Or is it that he has a blind spot? There's a lot to think about here. Thank you.
So you're all welcome.
I got a nitpick to throw in here.
Okay.
the thing that changed the universe or this particular part of the multiverse for this episode is if Odin gave Loki back, if Odin did not take Loki away, that event happened several thousand years ago.
True.
So any number of things within several thousand years ago going back could have happened.
Yeah, including all the battles on Earth that we know interacted with Earth in different ways.
Right. Any of those events could have caused the creation of Ultron sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree that it looks like this particular bad thing is coming through a portal from somewhere else. I mentioned on Wednesday of last week that it seemed like the Watcher was like surprised, like, oh snap, I spoke too soon, like shocked that this was happening. So my assumption is also other multiverse, but like, don't be using the timeline that the episode is happening within as the idea for why things may or may not be different, sir.
Hey, calm down.
Listen, he heeded the call.
Yeah, he heeded the call. Al is awesome.
How did you even listen to what he was saying?
Just because you're jealous of his wonderful Scottish accent, don't.
I might be. That's what I feel. I'm feeling a lot of
it's
that.
It's exactly that.
A lot of jealousy coming off Jeff.
There's
got to
be something wrong with him, and you know what? It's his logic. His logic just is like, wrong.
Something's got to be wrong with this guy. That accent is too attractive. I found it. I'm going to find the problem.
Found it, and I'm going to dig in. I'm going to dig in. I'm going to make everybody not like him because the freaking logic's wrong.
Listen, that'll never happen. I'll just keep sending all your feedback in audio. It's impossible.
Yep.
I'm not going to say I'm going to be able to say what you said back because I'm not concentrating on what you're saying. It's how you're saying it.
Okay.
I just
actually
ups and downs
very
and
shallow,
ups and
you guys.
Downs. Yep. Oh yeah, I am a crick.
That is very Alabama of you, Ashley. I am a crick.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Okay, so to get to his actual discussion topic here, I do think that he is right. That Ultron... Here's my thing. If Ultron was created in this universe, Ultravision or whatever...
Ooh.
Ultravision. TM.
Yeah, yeah. Feels like a... Ultravision feels like a like a Betamax, like, competitor...
it probably is.
Okay. If he existed in this universe and like Tony created him or whatever, and this all happened in this universe, then why would like he would have had to be a very different kind of Ultron to not have already taken over the world or destroyed the world? Because I'm assuming, because Ultron's whole mission was to destroy the world, and or like to kill all of humanity so that there would be peace. So if that's what Ultron's mission is in this case, I doubt he's been going at that in secret if he had the Infinity Stones. Like, he might be doing the, he might be going a double Thanos where he's just snapping and destroying all life, right?
Maybe.
Oh, that would be the quickest way to get to his endgame. No pun intended.
Yeah, to get to his endgame.
Ooh. Man, so we didn't see what Ultra Thor, not Ultra Thor. Ooh, that'd be nuts.
Ooh,
that'd be nuts. I want Thor wearing the Ultron armor, Ultra Thor now.
Or Ultron who becomes worthy and becomes Thor.
No, that's bad. That's worse.
But couldn't Ultron pick up the hammer because he's not a person?
Yeah, because he's a elevator.
He's a robot.
I want to call it a Thammer from now on. I really like Thammer.
Thammer.
You guys seen Thor's Thammer?
Ashley wants to. Anyway,
sure do.
This is entirely beside the point. Where is
either he's from another universe, or he did his conquering and becoming Ultravision in secret,
which isn't
really fitting of the Ultron we know.
Right.
Right.
And we didn't see what happened at the end. Like, we didn't see what Ultravision did at the end of the episode. Just showed up. That was it. And then It's like cut to credits. So
yeah, what if he's there to help?
It's whatever you want it to be, I guess.
Yeah, the red eyes really say to me, I'm here to help.
Wanda had red eyes and was pretty, you know, good.
Do you think she was helping?
I don't think she was there to help.
Well, not zombie Wan.
She's like, you're all fine. You're all fine. You're all okay. It's a little loving choking. We don't kink shame around here.
But when people start to crowd in on you, like, wouldn't you wish you could just be like, shut up! And just like,
I have two children. You know this.
Yeah.
But yes, because we don't see what Ultravision does, I want to believe that Ultravision's just showing up and being like, everything's gone. Move on to the next one. And that's intense.
Yeah, what if that's how the next episode opens? Is just like Ultravision just snapping all of the all of Bro Thor's entire universe just dusting.
That reminds me of the you remember that comic that we were talking about, Ashley, with the one where it was like it detailed what Nexus beings are and why Wanda is a Nexus being, mm-hmm. and how like the version of her from the other universe where necromancy was like the main form of magic was eating other universes and then got to hers. Like it reminds me of that, but like also using the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
That could be a source for these. Yeah.
Huh.
Well, cool. Al, thanks for the voicemail. Please. I love the voicemails. If everybody else has voicemails, instead of doing them as if we used to do the phone number, just record yourself on your phone and send it in.
We're going to take the phone number away.
To mcucast@gmail.com, because those phone number calls just never really did it for us.
They don't sound great, and these all sound really good. Yeah. And we used to get a lot more of them, which is why I'm excited to get them again. It's fun.
Yeah, I agree.
And the more Scottish, the better.
The more Scottish, the better.
Yeah,
the
Irish sexiest, guys, I'm talking to you.
The sexier the
I
accent.
Believe it if I look up better if I couldn't understand a single word you see it.
All you guys from Australia want to call and pretend to be Chris Hemsworth, send it right to us. Just give me like a birthdaygram.
We'll fall for it. It's fine.
Yeah.
We're incredibly gullible.
If you
here.
Say you're the other one, not Liam, but the other Hemsworth, I'll believe you.
Now, if Chris Hemsworth actually calls in, we're never going to believe it.
Never going to believe it. Because I don't want to meet him. I couldn't talk to him.
I don't think I would believe it anyway.
I'd be like, ew, get away. I just would say things to him that he's not used to hearing, like, ugh, gross. Your hair, ugh. If he would order a coffee or something, I'd be like, ew, that?
You ugh. Drink that? Ugh.
Yeah.
You're saying you'd like, neg? You'd want to neg?
Yeah, because I'm sure he's not used to hearing that. So, like, when he would walk up, I'd be like, ew, I expected you to be wearing something nice. You know, I would just, like, the whole time like be me. The worst. Like, I would almost want him to want to give up and call his producers and be like, get me out of here, mate. I'd be like, yeah, that's a good idea.
Wow. Wow.
Because, like, who gets to do that? Nobody. I'll do it.
And then you look at Ken like, I did good, right?
Who? No.
Like, Chris Hemsworth is leaving. Take me with you. Please.
I'm like, wait, I'll marry your third brother. Okay.
Take this cat. Take this cat with you.
Chris Hemsworth, will you be my cat transportation?
He'll be like, you look ugly in those pants. Yeah, you're stupid. No. I know your character died in that other movie. Why are you making another one?
Oh my god. Oh my god, that's great.
Okay, getting back to the feedback here. We got Mr. R on Gmail.
This one I like a lot.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because it starts with, hello, Jeff and Co. I'm going to do a little dance real quick. I know you talked about this in your last cast, but I couldn't help myself. I don't believe Infinite Ultron is from Party Thors. We can see early in the episode that the Infinity Gauntlet is inside Odin's treasure vault, along with most of the Infinity Stones, but mainly Hydra couldn't have gotten the Mind Stone since Loki never brought it to Earth. I believe that Infinite Ultron is a multiversal threat. I appreciate your podcast and everything. Love you, 2999.
Whoa.
Mr. R156.
What did we do to lose points?
Yeah, what did we do to lose points? Like, I was on your side. I was like, yeah, this is a better argument because we saw glowing gemstones, although in Thor Ragnarok it was shown to be a fake because, you know, Hela pushed it over, but that's fake. Not to say that this one is a fake, but I like Loki didn't bring the scepter. I like that.
Yeah, but that's the only way Ultron could have gotten the stones. In this universe, maybe that's why they haven't seen him in this universe. Maybe he like sought for a way to get power, and then he realized the best thing he could do was go out into the galaxy, into the cosmos, and grab the power. Maybe that
cosmic
was just him.
Ultron.
Yeah, maybe he's Cosmic Ultron. He's coming from afar where he's collected all the gems, and now he's just like opened up a space stone portal, and he just stepped through it. It kind of did look like a space stone portal that he opened up.
I disagree.
Yeah, probably so. You're probably right.
I know.
Conflating. It was a circular portal.
Yeah, it was circular, but it had these like weird waves. It was like kind of like a ripply version of the TVA portals. Mm. You know, like when they step through, it looks like they're coming out from like a pool or something. Water.
Okay.
It was kind of like that, but it was ripples.
Yeah, it very well could be going through multi. I think it's through multiverse too, but I'm just saying. Mm. If he's collecting the stones, he might have collected them elsewhere other than how we collected them in this universe.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like this, we're not, because it is what if and it is multiverse, and multiverse is literally every possible imagining. Like, it's all canon, right? Everything that's in your head is canon because multiverse.
Yeah.
Ashley's like, I hate it.
I hate
Don't
it.
Like that at all.
I hate it.
But because all of these things exist, like, it could be anything. You could have gotten them from anywhere. Like, and it, you know, any part of the multiverse is fair game for that sort of threat. It's kind of a, I don't want to say campy. It's, you know, it's kind of a, whatever the writers want it to be sort of thing. Well, not like
it's
natural
a blank
evolution.
Slate. You don't have the baggage of a previous universe to deal with. You can do
anything
you want.
But I like that baggage.
I do too.
I love baggage.
I do too.
Which is why you'll turn Chris Hemsworth away.
Exactly.
You don't have enough baggage for me, honey.
No, I'm like, ew, is that your skeleton butt? Get out of here. Do you ever see when he does squats? I'm like, I can see, ugh. Ugh.
No, I usually don't watch him do squats.
No, well, he loves to share it on his Insta. Every time that man does a squat, he's like, somebody hold my camera.
Hold my camera. I've seen him, like, he posts all the time with, like, doing pull-ups and curls and stuff, like, showing off the guns. He probably needs to do some squats, like, considering the legs I saw in that the Hulk Hogan biopic.
Wait, he was in the Hulk Hogan biopic?
Chris Hemsworth is playing Hulk Hogan in the Hulk Hogan biopic. Well, why do you think his arms have to be so much bigger than his scrawny little legs? He's got to look bigger on top.
But Hulk Hogan had pretty decent legs, too.
Let's not body shame Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, of all people.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't, you know, I'm sure
I'm
he's
just saying,
fine.
Like, if you're body shaming Chris Hemsworth, what hope do the rest of us have? So, like,
what standards do you have for
day,
society?
Never leg day over there needs to leg day. No, I think he's doing it for the biopics. Because it does, like, he is getting humongous. Like, he looks ridiculous in a good
ripped.
Way. Yeah, I'm like, oh, God. Like, crazy. His poor tiny wife.
He was already
just getting destroyed. Sorry, you can mark her.
I don't know. Okay,
she's like 5 foot
oh,
nothing.
Oh God.
Okay.
All right. Next up, John Irons wrote in from Captain Game Show. Our good friend John Irons. I'm going on that show tomorrow. Captain Game Show. You should all check it out. It's a really great podcast.
John Irons had this to say. Hey, guys. I didn't love this episode.
My guy.
I didn't hate it either. But like you guys said, it was basically an episode from a 90s sitcom. It was mostly fluff with interesting moments here and there. Overall, this one could have been 5 to 10 minutes shorter, and I don't think it would have lost anything. Here's my headcanon on why Heimdall didn't notice Thor's hijinks. He did notice, but that's his boy. And he wasn't going to rat him out. I like it. Even going to a backwater planet like Earth, Heimdall had explicit orders from Frigga to keep an eye on Thor, so it's not like he'd just forget about him. Also in the final act, Thor has time to literally go around the world cleaning up as Frigga is beaming down. They've always given us the impression that transport via the Rainbow Bridge was fairly instantaneous. So the only explanation for her taking several minutes, I'm being generous here, for her to reach Midgard is that Heimdall was deliberately slowing down the process to give Thor time to get everything together. I think I actually would have liked this one better if they hadn't done the very cool scene at the end with Ultravision. If it had all been a silly romp, fine. But that last shot just begs the questions. How the hell did that happen? And why the hell weren't we watching that story instead? As always, great job, guys. Thanks.
Well, I think it's very possible this week's episode is going to be that story from its beginning. Right?
Don't you think?
Ooh, okay.
I don't know. I don't expect anything.
I don't know. That's my thinking, is that we saw that, and then that will be also the end of the next episode. I don't know. Maybe
interesting.
Not. Like something like that.
I like a little tracks effect here.
Yeah, tracks, which is a, I don't know. There's so many movies we could reference there, right? But like we always reference tracks because it's the first time the MCU did it, but it's out of time storytelling like that. The Memento style, like whatever, jumping around to different time periods.
Yeah. The out of time storytelling in one episode of the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. It's commonly known in the industry as the tracks effect. Yeah,
the tracks effect.
So stupid. I love John's idea that it's, and it goes along with our idea from earlier that maybe Odin, I love the idea that all of Asgard is just super party down bro-y. And like that, yeah. Heimdall's in on it. Odin's in on it. The hammer's in on it. Everybody's in on the party.
Yeah, it seemed like what's wrong with this? Why would we want to stop it?
Yeah, why would
Maria
we stop
Hill,
this?
Who cares what you think?
We never get to send the nukes.
She's not my favorite.
Okay,
we never.
I mean, I was happy that she showed up because I got points, but you know.
Oh yeah,
points.
Just me.
On
yeah, remember that thing
draft.
that we signed up for that you have never looked at again?
Am I winning?
No.
Oh, then who cares?
That okay. She doesn't remember.
Exactly.
We really need to try to get a full version of that set up, especially now that Zoo Hair just set this up for us at the end of 2019. Or no, 2020. He set up a draft league for we've explained it before, but we all picked characters and then we get points when they show up in different movies or TV shows, and it's like an MCU draft. It was super fun. It has been super fun, but like it would be fun if the whole community was doing it, not just the hosts or a few. I mean, it's like whatever 50 people are doing it. I think
it would be better if people who like knew what they were doing did it, because I did it wrong from day one.
I did it pretty wrong too, but it was our first time.
You, Matt, are winning in our little league.
Well, at the moment.
So Matt doesn't give a shit either. He hasn't watched
it. I did it wrong because I thought that Doctor Strange came out this year. When I figured out my whole points, I was like, all right, I'm picking Doctor Strange first because I know he's in two things this year. And then he was not.
I picked the whole Guardians and I was like, what do you mean 2023?
Yeah.
she's like, but wait, phase four.
Wait a minute.
That's really funny.
Because they've all shown up in What If, you've gotten points because of that.
I like it.
So.
And, okay.
But this has been kind of a test season. Like,
I'm not gonna
really
win.
I love the idea, and next season we'll try to get it open to more people.
Ugh.
Next year, yep. I guess.
So let's see. We have what, three more?
Zen Madman says a lot of people do it wrong their first time.
Ew.
It is true.
Ryan Murray said, what's up, true believers? First time writing in. New listener since Fatwas, and I've listened to every episode since. Y'all are my favorite, and I can't wait for every new podcast. Honestly, I get excited every time I get the notification. But anyway, I wanted to share my feedback about episode 7, but also about the entire series in general. The fact that nobody around me seems to actually like the show that much for some odd reason. Bunch of party poopers. I don't know, for some reason they just don't like the concept or idea of it, but I think it's incredible. This episode was so fun, and I can't wait to see how it all comes to an end. There definitely has to be some kind of big team-up coming, where the Watcher collects everybody into one universe to fight this. How should I say it? Ultision? Vistron? No. I don't know.
Ultravision.
Ryan.
Ultravision.
Ryan, it's Ultravision. We already got there. I know that you wrote this in before we got there, but like, catch up. Come on. I'm kidding. Ryan says, I don't know. Thought, but I hope somehow Jeffrey Wright shows up as the Watcher live action in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness.
What do you live think? Action. Yeah, everybody wants live action when they watch this. I get it.
I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying he loves Jeffrey Wright and he wants to see Jeffrey Wright make that crossover. I think that's that would be freaking awesome. I love Jeffrey Wright.
And Ryan finishes with, keep up the great work and thank you for making my drives better, for I am the listener.
I like it.
That's good stuff.
That's great. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for writing.
I've been called a lot of things, but a party pooper has never been one of them.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting to see how many people are vocally kind of opposed to this. I think it's an interesting, like, there's two reasons, though, right? It's the animated angle, but it's also the first real chance we've gotten to see multiverse stories, which both, as we talked about, don't have the grounding of a universe, but they also don't have the weight of needing to be referenced later, if that makes sense. So they, in a real sense, they don't matter and they don't line up with previous, canon. So it's like,
yeah, so we should hate it.
Like, well, in a way, it's that thing, but here's the thing is like, oh, sorry, Google thought I talked to it.
I didn't understand that.
I don't get it.
But that's the thing is like, I think they've done a good job so far. I've been saying it for 2 or 3 years since we've heard about Multiverse of Madness and we knew all this was coming, like that I am worried about the multiverse being introduced into the MCU and it watering down the pristine single line sacred timeline that we have. But so far, they have, in my mind, done a good job of telling these self-contained stories when they need to, or making stories fit into the larger universe when they need to. And the biggest thing is they've made me care about all the characters when they show up on screen. And that's the thing that matters to me more than anything. Yeah.
If I think too hard on it, I start to get kind of pissed off that Marvel is starting or is trying to use my like established love of these characters to try to make me like these other characters who are not the ones that I love. They're like, you know who Thor is, right? Well, here's a sort of Thor.
Right.
And like, I can't think about it too much in it or else it makes me like,
I am with you. And I have felt that way about other shows. Even shows I liked okay. I still kind of felt manipulated into watching because they,
how dare you.
I mean, honestly, Runaways is an example I can say. Like, I liked Runaways.
Oh, yeah.
But Runaways is a show that used the MCU to get me there, then didn't respect the MCU.
I didn't watch it. I was like, I know what you're doing.
Well, like, they used it to get you in the door.
Ploy.
And then they have things like, they talk about Barack Obama being president, which is like, in MCU canon, it should have been President Ellis or whatever. Like things like that that show that it's not in the same universe, so they didn't care to even pay attention to that stuff.
Hmm.
The first time aliens have been on this planet. Oh wait, except for 2012, when the sky opened up in New York.
It's like 2018, and they're like, this changes our scientific understanding. There is life elsewhere, and we're like, yeah, the Chitauri attacked 5 years ago. What are you doing? What's going on? It's annoying because they use your love of the MCU to get you in the door and then they don't respect what's brought you there. But I don't think that's the case with What If so far. They've brought in all these different versions, but they've showed like a deep affection for all the canon and showing little connections to it and like giving us different versions of things we already like. And it's more fan service than just like getting fans in the door and then like pulling the rug out from under you, you know?
I think that's the main thing about this series, that main word that you use there, fan service. It is fan service for us who are like diehard, you know, raving mad, loving the MCU. Just,
yeah,
we're diehards. And it's kind of just like, you know, here, like throw some confetti in the air. Whatever lands is like, you know, that's the episode. And it's like, okay, cool. I love playing with this confetti. Ah, like, sure. It's dumping out the toy box and, you know, doing all the things. It's fine. But if I think too hard about it, I'm like, you could have given me something real.
Right.
You could have given me a show that's real. And, you know.
Well, but they have. They have,
right? It is
right?
real.
Well, it is sort real, but also they multiverse. Have, like, Loki, Hawkeye's coming soon.
Yeah. Gosh,
WandaVision.
They could have done more of those things, though, instead of this. I don't know. It's like I'm talking myself into not being happy about its existence.
I'm like, tell me more.
Yeah. She's like
I saw Ashley, like, pulling. She's like, yes, yes.
I was like, I don't have to say that. I was like, keep going.
Yes. Follow that logic.
Let the hate flow through you.
We have cookies.
Yeah, on the dark side, we have cookies. I hear you. And I will only allow myself to not like this stuff if it starts being bad. And so far, I think there have been really fun, interesting stuff that I'm amazed that we ever got at all. There's no way they could have told certain ones of these stories in live action with any sort of reasonable budget. There's a reason WandaVision has to happen in like a small town. You know what I mean? It's a big story about this like witch getting her powers, but most of it happens in like a small town. You know what I mean? They have to set these shows in ways to restrict the budget, but an animated show, they were able to tell a story where they recreated all of these different moments from the MCU and they don't have to rebuild those sets. They don't have to do all that. And that's the reason they're able to tell these what if stories. You get like Tony's house from the third Iron Man, and you also get the Humvee driving through the desert, and you also get the place where they met Claw and cut off his arm, you know, like all these set pieces that there's no way they would have been able to tell that story in live action with a reasonable budget. And if they're going to spend $100 million to make a thing, I would rather them make the things they're making for $100 million, which is things like Shang-Chi and like, you know, I don't want them to be spending $100 million retelling me the old stories in a different way, you know? I don't know.
Right.
So I'm pretty happy with What If so far.
It's great.
For the amount of money that they put into it for what they're doing, it is fun.
Yeah.
But again, I can't think too much on it or else I just start to get mad. But I do have four of the pops from this series on my desk at work. Like I've got Captain Carter riding the Hulkbuster.
That's awesome.
Or not the Hulkbuster, the Hydra Stomper.
Yeah, Hydra
Stomper. The Steve Buster.
I've got that one where she's got her shield. They put like Funko put a donk on that one.
She does have a Badook.
Yeah. Right next to her, I've got the Collector from episode 2. I've also got T'Challa Star-Lord from episode 2. And fourth one is one we haven't seen yet. It's post-apocalyptic Nat, Black Widow.
I bet that's next episode. I bet that's Age of Ultron. I bet that we're actually going to get Age of Ultron and not just you know, Weekend of Ultron. Weekend at Ultron's.
Weekend at Ultron's. Just Clint.
Clint.
Clint just propped up against a thing like.
So here, let me. Have you ever heard just your logic about what if? I'm going to go back to it for a second. Have you ever seen the Louis C.K. bit that's like about either the people on airplanes? He's like, do you know we have Wi-Fi on airplanes now? And he's like, it's amazing. You're in the sky and suddenly you can like access all of the world's information right there on your phone in the sky. And then he's like, I saw a guy. It's the first flight I've ever heard of this. And I see a guy 30 minutes into the flight yelling because the Wi-Fi is out. This is a thing you didn't know existed 30 minutes ago. And now you're already so entitled that you like think that you are owed the thing that you didn't know existed 30 minutes ago. And it's like an indictment of like the humanity of us. We all do that, right?
Yeah, it's that Asgardian privilege we were talking about.
Yeah.
blonde hair, blue eyes.
I would like to challenge you, Jeff. Wait. We are getting new Marvel content every freaking week, practically, yep. this year. Like 50 yep. new episodes of things. And yep. if a few of them have to be animated to make that happen, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I'm just come see, come saw with it.
Are you quoting a canceled comedian at me to try to get me to...
Yes, I'm absolutely quoting a canceled comedian at you.
Because the words are relevant. Damn it.
Yes.
Person behind it notwithstanding.
Yeah, his comedy insights still stand, my friend. His comedy insights still stand.
That's fair.
Yep.
Real quick, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with a little bit more What If feedback after this break. And we're back. And Jeff took a bite before we started the podcast.
You mean ramen?
No, it was broccoli cheddar soup.
Mm.
Okay. It's officially soup season.
I didn't know soup had a season.
Oh, yeah.
Never really been a fan of soup as, like, the meal, but, you know.
Mm.
I'm not in control of the menu this week.
Stew.
So.
You know, like a good hearty beef stew.
In the winter
with a nice piece of bread. There's a fucking spider going down my wall and I don't know what to do.
You should panic.
Definitely.
I don't have anything around me to kill it.
I'm just going to bring Ash back on the screen because she's being very entertaining with her freak out about the spider. Like we had like one more feedback before it was time for you to come back, but I had to bring you back because you're like really scared of the spider. Just, like, put a piece of paper.
I don't see fear. I see disgust.
I see a little bit of both. A little column There's A, a little rage. Column B.
Bit of both.
Okay.
Oh, she's going to try to Hawkeye that shit.
Oh, I got it.
All right. Ashley Hawkeyed the spider, and now we can move on to the
Bring my
last
feet
feedback.
Up on the chair.
Way to Kate Bishop that shit.
I buffied that bitch.
Our resident Kate Bishop, our resident no. spider slayer.
Damn.
Okay.
That's a big right. one.
So, let's see. Andre Spark sent us a message on Facebook. Hey, Ashley, Jeff, and Matt and company. Just wanted to share a few thoughts. This Ultron is obviously from a reality where he got his perfect vision body and then destroyed the Avengers. He probably had Wanda sacrifice her brother for the Soul Stone. The next episode has to be the Apocalypse episode or the Gamora episode or both. Then the finale will be the Watcher saying, F it. This dude is worse than Kang. I gotta step in. That's how we get the Guardians of the Multiverse or Ultimate Avengers. Lastly, what do you all think about What If Season 2 being more focused on the Marvel television shows? Give me a Daredevil What If or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What If. What do you think all? What do you all think about my thoughts? Can't wait for more content. Keep up the great work.
All right. There's a whole lot in that, Andre. Like you used a short piece of feedback for a whole lot of stuff. And first, I have to ask, he probably had Wanda sacrifice her brother for the Soul Stone. Where do you get that from? Like, I don't even. What is that?
I don't think she would do that.
No, me neither.
Ever at all.
That's
ever.
Not a Wanda thing.
I don't think so, but I really wonder where Andre, like, that seems pulled out of nowhere, and I kind of love it as, like, that's very creative, but crazy. Yeah. That's real crazy.
It's creative, but, like, could you pump the brakes for a minute before you just go throwing siblings off of cliffs on other planets?
Yeah, that's wild, man.
Turn it down.
Calm down, Andre.
You're way too far out there.
I don't know. If they gave me a glimpse of what my future power would be and how hot my outfit was, kapow, bye, Pietro. I get a crown.
Oh, sorry. So you'd push your brother off a cliff for a crown?
Yeah, I'm an only child. I don't know what that's like. I do it.
I have no understanding of sibling love.
Brother or crown?
You know, it's really funny that I thought you said crowd at first, like C-R-O-W-D.
Oh,
like,
well.
I get a crowd to strangle?
That too?
Yes.
If I could do it with just one fist.
I thought you just meant like, it would make her popular. Like, I get a crowd. They love me. They really love me. Bye, bro.
I get an entourage.
I would love that.
I would love an entourage.
Is that what you would buy with the lottery winnings, is an entourage?
No, it would be a personal live-in masseuse that every time I wanted a massage of any kind. Ow, my hand.
Okay, let's let's do this last what-if feedback, and then let's do a round of what would you do with $1 million?
Fair.
There is no further what-if feedback.
Like a full... Oh, wait. Well, I mean, we still got the rest of this one. There's so much in this one.
Okay, that's fair.
And we've got the stuff that Ash has.
Yep.
We've just done a lot of rabbit trails this episode, so I'm trying to get to the end, and then we can like do. I just love that game, and I want to play it. Okay,
that game.
What would you do with $1 million? Like right now, right. Like I like the like I love. It's actually something I love to do with like a partner or whatever. Is like, yeah. Hey, what would you do with $1 million right now? This very second. $1 million dropped in your lap.
$1 million?
Yeah. Or like some finite amount of money and like decide what you would actually do with that million.
Oh, I know exactly what I would do.
Well, okay.
I mean, we've had a similar discussion at the office and it has, I think a business plan has been laid out for us that we have to get a hot tub for Twitch.
No. Oh yeah, that's true. Me and you were talking about doing hot tub streams, just me and you.
I'm going to veto that right now.
Me and Jeff are going to get an Alabama hot tub stream
y'all
going.
Y'all do what y'all want to do out there in Bama.
Talk about Marvel and being a hot tub.
Dig him, Roll Tad.
Be so funny.
Roll Tad.
It'd be so funny, like, if Stranded Panda became, like, me and you in a hot tub talking about Marvel movies. I love
if
it.
If you and I started doing
that... Is that the future you want for this? I mean, leave now.
Not a future necessarily, but, like, maybe, like, a time period. Like, an age.
An endgame.
A weekend of it.
So that's your plans. That's your plans.
So, okay. No, Matt, if you and I started doing that, that is what Stranded Panda would turn into, is... The only people left is you and me in a hot tub.
That's it. That's just it's all straight. Because
everybody else is like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I'm out.
So getting real quick to Andre's stuff. We got he had so many things in here that we should.
I love this idea of the Watcher being the Nick Fury of the multiverse.
Yeah, me too.
And like going and grabbing like, I just want to hear Jeffrey Wright say there was an idea, ooh. And I'm gonna do it better.
So,
because he gets to cherry pick all the best versions of the Avengers from across the multiverse.
Well, I think the idea would be he would cherry pick the ones he can pull from their universes, maybe without causing too much trouble or something. I don't know. I'm.
What if? Oh,
he just gets all Nexus people.
The reason that we see that dark Doctor Strange, Doctor Strange, if you will, Doctor Strange come back is because. The Watcher goes back, Uatu goes back and is like plucks him out of that verse to go and fight against this threat that, you know, has to have somebody incredibly powerful.
I absolutely think that's it. I think like he like saves him as the world is crashing in on him. He's going to blip in and grab him to be a warrior to save the multiverse. Like you destroyed one universe. Now you've got to save them all, you know?
Oh man. You saw what happened with this one. Let that be a lesson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Prioritize the universe, not your selfish needs or whatever.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
I love that.
And then he just consumes that version of Ultron.
Ooh, yeah.
It's That's getting cool. dark.
I like it.
Getting real
I like
dark.
It.
Sun's getting mighty low. Mm-hmm.
Nom, 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 nom.
The sun is set, baby.
I love the idea Andre throws out about the what if focused on the TV shows. I just don't know that we'll ever get it. I think that at least the ones that you're talking about, the Daredevils, the Defenders, I think those are just going to, I think it's very likely we'll get those characters back, but I think that Marvel's not going to want to drive us back to watch too much of those because they're like, I don't know, they're at a war with Netflix. They're not going to like want us to have to go watch all of the stuff on Netflix, you know.
They need to get over that because those shows are like Daredevil's really amazing. Yeah,
really is.
Everybody go watch Daredevil and Jessica Jones. I mean, you can skip Iron Fist. I'll fold on the Iron Fist. I just thought the only thing that they did right in that was what Danny Rand was supposed to be like and how he was in the comics, and I thought he was very similar. Exactly what he's like.
I didn't know this.
He's an idiot.
Okay. He's white savior.
He's very ready, like very Deadpool, like very Spider-Man. It was like that has the same kind of like, you know.
Interesting.
Campy.
I don't know him from.
He thinks he's quippy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's weird. That's interesting. I have not heard that take
also,
before.
Like, he balances his quippiness with those, like, you know, the fortune cookie sayings, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're just kind of like, Danny.
Like, Danny, ugh.
Danny, shut up.
Yeah. So the fact that every time he opened his mouth on the show, you were like, ugh. I was like, perfect.
Nailed it.
Brava.
Really funny.
I appreciated what they were trying to do.
And like when he wasn't on his show, he was amazing.
Yep.
The Luke Cage, him and Luke Cage episode of season two, Luke Cage was the best.
That was the best version of both of them.
Yeah.
Is when they were together. They got to do patty cake. They did the iron toss.
They did patty cake.
I like that episode. And I know there's lots of references to the comics that you guys love, but like, and like cool moves of them teaming up, but I still,
it's a gift.
It's just kind of, I still don't care for his character in that episode. He's just kind of fine to me.
That's okay.
That's fine.
Cause like,
you're fine.
I don't have an affection for the character. And so it's like hard to whatever. So Ash, you got some feedback from the live chat on Twitch?
Very little bit.
Twitch.tv/TrainingPandaTV, by the way. If you're listening to the audio, every Monday at 6 o'clock, we do the feedback casts. And so you
can 6 o'clock central.
Yeah, 6 o'clock central. Twitch.tv/TrainingPandaTV.
Thank you, Paul. Luke plus Danny is gold. I know. Mm. Biddies136 says, how will Dark Doctor Strange stack up against Ultravision?
Ooh.
I added, he had a name for it, but it wasn't as good as Ultravision. Okay. Happily edited with love, Biddies136.
I like it.
But now I'm curious. What's the name?
No, not as good, Matt. Focus. Eyes up.
Right.
Come
there.
On.
Okay.
Ultra powerful Ultron.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, he got there. It's just Ultravision with more steps.
Yeah. You came up with that after. It was after.
No, I'm just teasing. I was just curious. I didn't know if he had a fun name. Okay. So I think
going off the rails here
that Ultron Vision is going to have a lot of power because he's got the Infinity Stones. I mean, like, we're talking Thanos level threat here. We're talking Doctor right. Strange had to fight Thanos because he couldn't defeat him with three of the stones and six other heroes. So,
but that was Doctor Strange without all of the power that Doctor Strange, this Doctor Strange consumed.
Sure.
This Doctor Strange consumed like several of the like extremely powerful primordial beings of the universe
and some gnomes
in order to try to break time, and it ended up breaking the universe.
That gnome is like the best thing.
Didn't consume the bug, just took his cloak. Like a trot line of bugs.
Biddies appreciated the correction. Thank you. Team player.
This is, I mean, this Doctor Strange, like, this version of Doctor Strange was able to like hold back the universe collapsing on him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That is very impressive power.
That's an impressive amount of power. Like, I think that this particular version of Doctor Strange might be able to stack up a bit against the whole gamut of Infinity Stones.
I also think it could be really powerful if he's the one who gives himself up to save the multiverse. You know what I mean? Like, if he's been doing this selfish thing. And that's like been his whole arc. Selfish, selfish, selfish.
My universe is gone. There's no reason for me to live anymore.
Yeah.
Wah.
Just going to throw myself at the stones and we're going to collide and destroy each other.
I think there's a good argument there that's going to how this is going to all go down, that he's going to be the big whatever, the big good against the big bad.
The big good. It's weird that's a thing that we have to say. The big good.
Yeah, man. Gotta have the big good.
And we have one more, which is just more of a hashtag. And Zen Man says, hashtag Ultron was right. So if you're right about the next one we're going into, it's going to be a fun ethical episode.
Interesting. I do not agree. I know that Paul loves his AI, but I still don't think that Ultron was right. I mean, come on.
I mean, there's certain aspects of what he was saying that were right. It was just going very extreme on taking care of it. Very a la Fifth Element. You know, when Lulu Dallas Multipass saw how Earth... Yeah. Lilu. Sorry. I got the rest of it right.
Yeah, you got so close. I was just trying to help. So I wasn't trying to be corrective.
I know.
We'll get letters.
Anyway, that bitch, she knew when she saw all that how horrible we were and that we weren't worth saving. Mm-hmm. So right. Just because she was cute about it, I mean, she was also right. Niltron wasn't 100% wrong either.
Sure.
No, like, no. I see both sides. I'm driving in traffic and I see both sides.
Ultron was correct that by destroying all of humanity, he could bring peace. But that's, I don't know about morally correct that that's the right option.
I mean, I think he landed on people suck and they all need to die.
Yeah, and we did that. We did it.
It's very Agent Smith, we are the virus.
Yeah. Oh my God, yes.
Mr. Anderson.
Let's reference more Matrix in our everyday lives.
Come I gotta on. Tell you about this Matrix thing that happened this week. So I'm in a bar. I'm playing at this bar, and I'm sitting across from this the bartender, and because he's behind the bar,
and then a few minutes later you saw the same cat.
Yeah, exactly. So it was weird though. It did feel like a serendipity, which did sort of make me like, is this a glitch? Is this a glitch in the Matrix? No, but he was like, man, I've been watching Matrix Reloaded today. I just freaking love all those movies. I just love them. And I was like, oh, are you excited about the fourth one? And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, the new Matrix movie that's coming out soon. And he was like, what are you talking about? Is it like
you made
a reboot?
That guy's day.
I made his day so hard. And that's not the end of the story. He flipped out. He was like, oh my gosh. And I like showed him a little bit of the trailer on my phone. And he's like, they're all back. They're all coming back. All the people are back. And I was like, yeah, it's the Wachowskis it's directing Trinity. It, writing it, directing. It's like, they're all here. It looks amazing. Like, I'm really excited. And he's flipping out. He's flipping out. Anyway, so a little later in the night, this lady comes in. She didn't hear that we're flipping out and love it. She just hears us mention Matrix 4, and we've been talking to her mom, actually. And this girl comes in. She's like in her early 20s, maybe. And we're like, hey, how's it going? And she hears us talking about the Matrix 4, and she's like, oh, yeah, I did a bunch of the textile work for that.
What?
And she was from California, and she just happens to be in town for this exhibit that's going on.
Was it an exhibit of all of the Matrix textiles?
It was a civil rights exhibit.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just a really crazy serendipity. This guy who's a huge fan of the Matrix movies, he's like, yeah, I watch them like every few months because I just love them so much. And then he didn't know that Matrix 4 was coming out, which I got to tell him, which was really nice.
So it's like, you're not a fan.
And not a real fan.
What did they shut down their internet after 1997? Like, I'm not going to be in it.
He unplugged, man. He unplugged.
I took the green pill.
If there's no more Matrix, there's no more me.
Oh man, but that was just crazy that the girl worked on the Matrix, and then she's like telling us stories of hanging out with Keanu Reeves and stuff like
Canoe. Oh god, I love Canoe. I would give anything to just hang out with Canoe.
Okay, that's all the feedback, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what would you guys do with $1 million? Like, for real, in real life.
Just 1 million.
Okay, let's go 10 million, because a million goes by way fast. So you have $10 million right now in your pocket. Big pocket.
Pay off my debts.
That's
replace
so
my car.
Easy.
Right. Pay off my debts, replace my car, invest, live.
Yeah, that's nice. What would you do for fun? What would you do for creativity? What's the big thing?
Whatever the I felt like.
Right.
I would buy a house somewhere that I really wanted to live. I don't know where that is yet, but with 10 million, I would figure that out pretty quickly in the US, probably somewhere on the West Coast. And then I would definitely get a place in like Paris. And I would travel immediately. I would get friends together and we would go around the world for like a couple months, nothing crazy, not too many people, but like I would want to go to all the places I've always wanted to see pretty quickly. But, and I would get a house, like $1 million house, like nothing crazy, like maybe even a little, like, I don't know, nothing crazy. There's only the two of us and we're not going to have kids.
We're in Alabama. $1 million house is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, not in LA. It's not.
Oh, I know.
I don't think I would even do LA. I think I would do the Pacific Northwest, like Washington State, I think would be the place for me.
Nice.
For my forever home.
I would definitely do the whole investing and pay off debt, like do all the responsibility.
Yeah, and I would
invest. That's the first million, right? Like that's the first 3 million probably is just like paying off the debt. That's my first mm-hmm. million actually is all of my debt. No, I'm just kidding. Pay off the debt. Mm-hmm. Like buy a house that I like and has, and I would just deck the house out. I would do $1 million house, but it would be in Alabama mm-hmm. and it wouldn't even be that big. It would just be like completely decked out with all of the recording studio
everything
stuff I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the, I would get someone in and just do all of that. Then I would like do things. I would probably just set aside $1 million in an account that had like, that would kick off some money that would just like pay for like a like maid and a cook forever.
Yeah, right? I would want a like, cook and a personal trainer for
yeah,
a while
just
to get my shit together.
No, forever. I want it forever. Cause the thing I want more than anything in life is time. Like I want to buy time. If I could mm-hmm. buy someone that's like handling, and I'd probably hire someone to do some of my like booking and all that kind of stuff. And just like, I'd probably hire a couple of people that like, and you know, would handle some of my stuff.
I would want to buy a vineyard somewhere, like Italy
vineyard.
Somewhere, because I would like something to do that would still create revenue.
Right, right.
But that I absolutely love, and there's not much in this world I love Wait. More than wine.
I was like, something to still create what? Wine? Create wine?
Revenue.
You're just saying wine weird.
Yeah, I just hear wine a lot, yeah.
Baby duck wine. No. I don't know, I would name it something fun.
I like it. Baby duck wine is not bad. That's noticeable.
That's from this movie, Let's Go to Prison, when they are in prison and they had to make prison toilet wine. And then when they got out, they sold the recipe and they called it baby duck wine.
Nice.
Okay. Okay. Now,
and then I would probably spend at least a little bit. I'd spend a lot of that time that I'm saving, like making music. And then I would probably spend some money actually figuring out how to promote the music career, because like, I don't know how to market things and like, and the podcast stuff, you know, like I would want to grow Stranded Panda and grow the music stuff and find the audience that it's always so elusive to find, you know?
Yeah. Put all the money in.
Yeah. I'd spend money to like make that actually a thing, like share the stuff that I create with the world.
Come visit my studio, my Italian chateau.
Yeah.
Because that's
Ciao
what
bella.
I mean. Ciao bella. We're doing a wine tasting from Italy. All right. I don't want to think about it anymore because it makes me sad.
Well, yep. I like to do it. I like to check in with myself every few years.
I don't play the lottery
because of that. Matt.
I can't handle those days between thinking of everything that I'm going to do and having it by the time the lottery comes, like laid out, and then I don't win.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to throw myself off a building, I guess. No.
It's fine. I'm just going to go eat a whole pizza.
Yeah. A pint of ice cream.
I like to have that, like, whatever, that mental exercise every few years, because it's like, what would I do right now? Like, what? Because it kind of reveals to yourself, like, what you really want to be doing. Like, you know, you want to be mm-hmm. seeing all the world and, like, finding the place for yourself.
I already know exactly where I would go.
Yeah.
I guess it just reveals that I hope that I would still be alive.
If I won the lottery or whatever, within 3 days, I would be in Italy eating pizza. Like immediately, like,
do you like
I'm
their pizza?
Going, yeah. Oh my God, I did.
Yeah.
It was the best pizza I've ever had.
It's just not very much like our pizza, right?
It's not, but it's better.
Sure.
It's hard to explain, but it's just the best pizza I've ever had.
I can just imagine myself being like, I don't know, I'm used to this kind of pizza. This is my expectation of pizza.
Oh my God, Matt's going to go to freaking Rome and be like, it's not Papa
like
John's.
It. The,
Man,
it's
not
the
Papa
flavors,
John's, but like
it's the ingredients, it's everything.
Well,
I don't know.
No
I don't
doubt
know how
it's
to
great.
Explain it.
I've just heard it's like very different food. Like it's almost like not the same thing, but I don't know.
It's brick oven pizza.
I'm not saying it's worse. I'm just saying like I think I would have a hard time at first being like, is this
Wow, I don't think so.
Matt's like in Rome. He's like, man, I thought this is where the Caesars were.
Yeah, I like the little Caesars better than these real Caesars over here.
Sad. Well, at least you go get a pasta carbonara or something. I don't know. Don't go to Italy, I guess.
I know I would like
oh,
it.
God.
I'm not saying I wouldn't like it. I'm saying it would be almost a different, I've heard from other people that it's almost
oh,
a
God.
Different experience than pizza here, to the point that it's
I
almost
mean,
like a different
yeah,
food.
Better.
No,
it's like,
I'm going to say no. It's just
okay.
better. Yeah. It wasn't a different food.
Cool. I dig
it's
it.
It's just like
it's an extra planar experience. Matt, you enjoy it. Thank you.
This isn't even, I've never had it. I'm not like saying I don't like it. All right, guys. Well, that is all from us. By the way, we have about 2 days left in September. So it is time, if you want to get in on the review contest, review drive that we're doing, every review we get in the month of September is entered to win either Oculus Quest or a Nintendo Switch of your choice. So go review strandedpanda.com/contest. All the rules and all the links are right there. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Oh, shoot. I don't get to say it. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.